Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, oh, the joy and the comfort to belong to you through Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit of God to help us along the way on the path of life, which leads to a heavenly eternity with you. We pray with thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. How wonderful that we can have relationship with God and even belong to Him. There are people who quickly grasp this concept, and then there are people, I think most of us, for whom it takes years of our time to seek and to understand. And as we live, we see examples right in front of us of the new spiritual reality, which is not what we used to understand. It's a new understanding. And it goes right along with the born-again experience. So let's be patient, because we know that all these things can take time. So be patient with our friends and our family and our neighbors, because it can take time to seek God and to have an understanding of God, and to become a believer in Jesus Christ and to know the truth of the gospel. Sometimes it takes a whole lifetime. I mean, look at the thief on the cross next to Jesus at the crucifixion. For that, the thief on the cross, it was just before death that he came to know the truth about Jesus. And if you think about the apostles, just think, they ate and lived with Jesus for all those years, and the Gospels and the Bible, they indicate that for a while, even they had a little doubt about Jesus. But then he came back after his crucifixion and death on the cross. He came back as a spiritual Jesus, and then the apostles, they completely believed. They had absolutely no doubt that Jesus was God and the Son of God, who had victory over death and all things. Jesus showed himself to them and others after death in his new glorified body. Yeah, study it out, and you can know it too. So often enough, we pray and we ask God to show us the truth of himself. Oh, yeah, like I did so many years ago. I prayed a simple but honest prayer. It was, God, I don't know if you are real or not, but if you are, show me. Yes, and I searched. I participated in that search, which took a few years. And he showed me the evidence of there being a real and true God. And so here I am today. I am a quiet man, but I'm talking on the radio. And who would have guessed that these circumstances would have come about? Yeah. I just kept saying yes to the circumstances that were right in front of me. And so I came to be talking to you on the radio. I just followed the best choices in front of me, and I kept saying yes, and here I am. Oh, life. Oh, there's so many wonderful parts of life, and there are surprises. Oh, and there are hard parts, too. It's just life. But when you get an idea of what heaven is like, I think you can hardly wait to get there. I can hardly wait. I know I have work to do here, just now. And in life, we have our time that just gets taken up by all those little things in life. Oh, they're concerns to us. They might be family concerns or money concerns or all sorts of things. And we deal with them. we have a path in front of us, and I think it's put there in as God puts it there, and it is to conform us to the will and image of Jesus Christ. But heaven is a wonderful place to go. If you have the testimony of people, you can easily see that. And then there's 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Yeah, so that's a part of the heavenly experience. And of course, we want that. We want the good and wonderful parts. So we learn about the evidence of God. We learn the Bible, and we get to see things pretty clearly. And we say, "Yes, Lord." That's been my experience anyway. So that passage from 1 Corinthians 2:9 has shown itself to be true, and that you want to be available to the spiritual understanding of God and of the Bible, and it becomes so obvious. But we have to look, search it out, and be ready to observe the spiritual lessons from God. And that's a part of the search for truth. Truth. We do search for truth because we do not want to be deceived. We do not want to believe a lie. That's right. We do not want to be deceived. And the Bible tells us over and over to be not deceived. The Bible tells us that Satan is the great deceiver and the father of lies. Ooh, let's see, Revelation 12:9 calls Satan the deceiver. And also in the book of John, there's a few times where Satan is called a deceiver. Satan works his deception in every area of life. And there are people who, I think they are deceived. They loudly proclaim themselves to be Christians, or maybe they proclaim themselves to be an apostle. Well, I'm sure there's something, but I'm not sure what they are. They can proclaim themselves to be saints or witnesses or whatever it is. Now, I don't see the truth of that, but what are we to do in life when we have people claiming this or that? I think the big thing that we are to proclaim is not about ourselves, but it is about what the Bible says. We are to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And if it's appropriate, I think it's fine to warn about the destiny of any sinner. So that's the kind of thing I think we can have a conversation about. One of the things we do not want to do is we do not want to pass an eternal judgment on a person, because that is for God to do, not us humans. That is God's area. So we can talk about biblical things, and we can tell them about, like what God calls sin, and that Jesus died as payment for our sins, and that we can be forgiven for our sins when we acknowledge the work that Christ did for us on the cross and ask for forgiveness and turn from our sin. This becomes our born-again experience when we are forgiven and spiritually reborn into the kingdom of God. And then we have been changed. We no longer think and live in the kingdom of darkness where Satan rules. Nope. Instead, we live a new life in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We become a friend of Jesus. There's John 15:14, where it says, we become a friend of Jesus when you do whatsoever that Jesus commanded you. This verse for sure talks about the great love of when one man lays down his life for another man. And I think about Jesus who died for us on the cross. And I think about the missionaries that go out for the cause of Christ to the world. And then I think about how each one of us can give up, well, our life a little bit at a time, a little bit each day, how we might pray for one another, or how we can give another person a godly cause we can give to them. And we can even pray for people or something or someone. Yeah, that's all good. And to me, that's a part of laying down our life. It does not have to be a quick one-time event where we lay down our life. It can be kind of slow. It can be over time, where as we live our life, doing the best we know how to live for Jesus Christ, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what is the best that we know how to do? Well, it changes because our knowledge increases, our understanding increases. The more we learn and grow, well, we just keep learning a little bit here and a little bit there. It makes me think of my friend, Brother Ed, who talks about our heart condition towards Jesus. And I remember that I'd heard that for, maybe 5 years before it really, really sunk into my thinking. And now, for the last 10 years, I have enthusiastically said, it's our heart condition that is so very important. It is our heart condition towards Jesus. That is so very important. Now, as we live, we focus on Jesus. And yet, as we live, we have all sorts of parts of our life going on all around us. There's things that get our attention with relationships, with money. Money, yeah. I don't mind talking about money because it's mentioned so many times in the Bible. So I think it's okay to talk about money. Besides, so many people today think about money. And so I think it's good to investigate the nature of money and realize that it is a tool it's a tool of everybody, of godly people and the worldly people. So we can try to understand what is going on with money so that we don't get hurt by it. I think about the changes in banking and money in the last 100 years in the United States. Oh, and for the world, the banking and money situation has been going on for much longer. And there are patterns that we can see. We can see patterns and try to understand what it will lead to, where our future, how it is involved with money. There are patterns, and I talk about them, I look at them, and I see that I have a great concern for the United States dollar. I see that we could have a crisis just soon, and it makes me concerned. I keep seeing the signs and the symptoms And the big money people also talk about the signs and the symptoms and that something really big could just come along and hit us. Just hit us hard. Oh, I've often said, I don't know when anything will happen, but it sure looks to me like something will happen. Soon. But what is soon? Yeah, I don't know. But it's better to get prepared too early than too late. There's a saying, it's better to be prepared a year too early than a day too late. Yep. And I think back to, like 100 years ago, and the nations that were in existence, and I think of the pretty money that they used to have. They had printed currency and also coins, and 100 years ago, they certainly did. And today, those pretty pieces of paper and coins that were made of base materials, they have no value today. But if you had a silver coin or a gold coin, that would have value today. So the old currencies or the old coins, they pretty much have no values today. But like I said, if you had a gold coin or a silver coin, that would have real value today. So that speaks to the pattern of money. That is to say, currency. Money is something of value, and currency is something that is printed to represent something of value. Well, today, if you listen to at least a few of the financial people, they will tell you that our financial system is, let's say on thin ice. And in history, well, you look back and you see that the people who had a financial understanding had wisdom. And that wisdom is still useful today. And what is that basic wisdom? It is to have no debt and to have savings. That has always been sound financial wisdom, to have zero debt and to have savings. That is a reasonable goal. That's what you want to do, to have stability in your financial life. Well, the people in our nation, in our land, they're not doing it like that. And our land and our nation is really not doing so well. Everybody is living on borrowed money from the federal government, state government, municipal governments, large corporations, small corporations, companies, individuals. Almost everybody is living on borrowed money. And at some point, the borrowed money will run out. That's just an economic law. Borrowed money will run out. And then what? Well, there's a few people with different ideas to examine the what if after that. But there's more than a few people who are saying that what will happen in our case is that we will have a depression. A larger depression than the Great Depression of the 1930s. Well, it surely could happen. That is kind of the pattern. So, while no one really knows the future except God, we can see that there are patterns. We can see that there are indications. And we can learn from history and apply them to our future. And so we see the things going on today that are kind of shocking to us. And we can get a pretty good idea of where it all is leading to. So tell me, what do you think it means that the United States has had a record number of store closings in, let's go back a few years, 2017? And then there were even more store closings, record number, in 2018. And now, at the end of September, there were 6,000 store closings in the United States, which is more than there were in each of the previous years. So, 6,000 store closings so far this year. Yeah, and the year's not over yet. Oh, now there are two sides to everything. And so we do hear people say that not to worry, that there is economic growth going on that is solid. In fact, they say the whole economic situation is solid. But I would say look for yourself. Look at you. Look at your neighbor. Look at the world around you. How is it looking? It is looking like there could be problems with everyone. The debt is terrific. The financial instability is big. And when you think of 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And 58% of Americans have less than $1,000 in a savings account. 40% of Americans could not immediately pay a $400 emergency need. You see, there are signs of instability everywhere. And it just, we need to be aware of it. Oh, and then the working Americans. I think it's just a wow that there are over 100 million Americans of working age who do not have a job. And that means we, the taxpayer, are paying for their living expenses. So, what do I look at? I look at, well, what if there were some kind of a national emergency? What if there were a nationwide natural disaster? Well, most people are not able to survive anything with what they have on hand. About half of the U.S. citizens do not have a first aid kit in their home. And about half of the U.S. citizens do not have any emergency food in their home. None. So, where does that leave you if there is an emergency? And what do you do with the commandment that you are to love your neighbor? Are you to help your neighbor? Yeah, sure. But I still have to wonder, if you have saved up your food and bought a water filter and bought whole grains and a grain grinder and other things, I want to ask, so you've done those things, but your neighbor, what have they done? They've bought a new car on credit. They've lived deliciously. They've bought expensive food for them and their pet, and they've even paid $500 or $1,000 for their vet bills, but they didn't save up so for their storehouse. So where do you think that would leave you if there was a great famine in this land? Should you share your food with them? Well, it's a tough question. Do you have an answer? What do you think would happen to them? Well, if you ask people that, there are more than a few people who say, well, they're just going to die. Well, I expect that if there was a big emergency, there would be a few who would do just that. That is, they would die. And then there would be a few who would just cling to life by any means. And that means they just might become a violent person who is ready to steal or just take whatever they needed. Well, I don't know the answers, but I sure puzzle over it all. I just wonder about it. Oh, what do we do when we have prepared and the people around us have not prepared? What do we do if hard times come along? Oh, I'm really not quite sure. I think there's a part of what we do to love. That's true. We are to have compassion for our neighbor. But the way I see it, we are to provide for ourselves. And being ready is a part. Having a supply, a storehouse, is a part of biblical things too. But we have a nation that just doesn't seem to do anything like that. We have been so accustomed to living and getting our needs met at the very last minute that we are unfamiliar with preparing and saving up. So we have to figure that out. Each one of us do. It's a question, and we sure had better look at it, because there's going to be people, if there ever is a national emergency, people who prepare, that's 5. I don't even think it's 10% of the people. So there's people who do prepare, and there's people, mostly, who don't prepare. So where does that leave each of us in the process? Well, you are better off to look at it in advance. So, of course, prepared does mean to be spiritually prepared, for you to be ready to share the love of God along with the food that a person needs, because that's loving your neighbor, and we're commanded to love our neighbor. The spiritual needs in our nation are great. And somehow, we just have to figure out what we're going to do as we look at the difference between showing kindness for your neighbor and providing for your neighbor. We are to show kindness and love, but I don't think it really means provide for them. I just don't. We're to provide for ourselves and our own family. And let's see, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It says, if a man will not work, then neither shall he eat. Interesting, isn't it? Yep. Well, there is room to have lots of discussion and lots of interpretation of what we are to do, how we are to have understanding of this and all matters. There's a Bible to study, and it helps us. We pray, and we get answers. So that's, I think, what we do. We pray, and we study the Bible. There are so many things that are going on just everywhere, in our neighborhood, in our nation. And you know that KKXX broadcasts Christ Today. It's located in Chico, California. And Chico has a lot of compassion for people. In fact, I think all over California, there is a lot of compassion for hurting people. And the homeless as well. Oh, yes. And the politicians from all over the state, they want to help the homeless too. And there's lots of programs and many millions and millions of dollars that are being spent to help the homeless people. And that's good. I'm not sure if it's the job of the state, though. I really think it's the job of the church, not the state. But anyway, in some jurisdictions, the homeless, they can do things that they shouldn't do, like peeing or pooping on the street. And that unsanitary behavior seems to have no consequence. And in our nation, well, that's just not the right way to live. And too many politicians, they're thinking about being kind, but really what they're doing is they're being stupid. Those politicians are paying for the programs that they see need to be implemented with our tax dollars. And that's the way it is all over the place. In the city of Chico, in the state of California, in everywhere. But the city of Chico has just accepted money from the federal government, $3 million, to have a needle exchange program so that drug users do not get HIV or hepatitis C for those IV drug users. So, $3 million. Is it a lot or is it a little? Well, we have to look at the whole money situation. And oh, by the way, I was thinking during that discussion, one of the advocates said $3 million wasn't enough. They needed $50 million to be spent on that program. Huh. Well, it reminds me of Margaret Thatcher, the old Prime Minister of England. She said, "The trouble with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money." I guess that's a position we will soon be in, where there's 3 million here and many millions more somewhere else, and eventually we're going to run out of money. $3 million is a lot of money. Oh, but the city of Chico has a $112 million budget. Very interesting. Money has become so inflated. Well, the thing I think we have to be aware of is to not encourage behavior that we don't want to see. If we're going to pay for behavior, well, you can bet people are going to do it. So I just wonder, how are we going to be able to afford all those feel-good programs that the politicians want to see? And right now, our nation's prosperity is declining while our nation's debt is increasing. Oh, sounds like trouble to me. It's a collision. So I cannot help but think about what is coming, and it just makes me concerned. And that's just on the normal course of things. We're not even talking about natural disasters. And there's plenty of people who say that natural disasters, if either could or will come to this nation. And you look around and what do you see? Natural disasters in the world. Oh, you know, Mexico City has that active volcano, and it's been getting more and more active. That could be a problem. Oh, and you do know we have that Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano. Some experts say that it is highly, highly dangerous and likely to go off at any time, and others don't see Yellowstone to be a problem at all. Who knows? All I mean to say is we could have things happening. The volcanoes is one of them. There's another one in Russia going on. Just happened, just became active. So, we just have things that could hit us in natural disasters. If there was a coronal mass ejection, we've had them before from the sun. It happened in 1859, and it melted the United States telegraph wires. It could happen again to our electrical grid. And there have been a few smaller coronal mass ejections since then. And there is also a concern about electromagnetic pulses from a nuclear weapon. That could knock out our grid. There's things that just could happen. And we would have to go without electricity for years. Years without electricity. I think that could leave us open to a military invasion from another country. I mean, it's just, there are who knows. And I don't mean I know. All I know is it's good to have a few just-in-case basic food and water provisions. I say water, food, and warmth. I think those are what we need to be prepared with. And there was a recent poll that asked families how long would their family last on just the food they had in their home. If there were something like a EMP or a CME, if the grid went down and they could not buy gas or groceries, how long would they last? Mostly the answer was a few weeks, maybe a month. And the next question was, then what? And the common response was, we die. Huh. Well, I say, it's a good time to get some food insurance while the food is available. And basic food is not that expensive. I say get whole grain, sugar, salt, and oil, and a manual grain grinder. That's just the basic. Don't forget your water filter, a gravity water filter that will handle a volume of water. So, there's always other things you can get. It might be multivitamins. It might be propane for a cook stove. It's just, you have to look and make your own decisions because you want to live and you don't want to die if a big emergency happens. So the basics, food, water, and warmth. And to have basic first aid is good. Everybody has a different idea about what that means. But if you're just looking at the very basics, get the triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, and a lot of cloth medical tape. And don't forget your anti-diarrhea pills and something for a fever reducer like aspirin, acetaminophen, or ibuprofen. And then get a pocket knife with scissors. Oh, of course, you can get so much more, but those are just what I consider to be the really basic minimum. And now remember that your ancestors made it through a whole lot of difficulty. They overcame weather, they overcame the wilderness, and all sorts of troubles, social troubles too. So you and me, we had better believe that we can overcome every sort of difficulty also. We can do it. And remember that we want to seek and welcome the guiding light from above, which is the Spirit of God. That is just, it's all a part of what we want. And seek it now. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. Try to have the ability to overcome. And to do the work that God put us here to do. And that is to spread the gospel as we live for Jesus Christ. So, I like to say, get ready for the just-in-case situation also. There's a lot of just-in-case situations that have come up in history. And we get ideas, but we do not know just what will come along. Oh, 9/11 was an event, and it just came along. There have been cases of disease. In the past, there has been the Black Plague. That just came about very quickly. There have been plant viruses which have caused famines. Oh, famines on every continent in the last 100 years. And in the 1880s, there was the potato famine in Ireland. I guess that was a couple of times in the 1800s. But the point is famines do happen, war happens, violence happens. And so we want to get ready for just all sorts of eventualities that we don't know. We don't have any idea what's coming, really. We think and we make plans and we have these ideas. And that's good. But it's not like we know the future. It's just that we know what potentially could happen. In history, there have been some really seriously bad things that have happened. Yeah, and what can we do about them? I know in the mid-1940s, there was rape across Europe. That was one thing that went on after Central Europe was defeated. And then there was the rape of Nanking in 1937, where the Japanese just wanted to destroy that city, that Chinese city of Nanking. See, brutality is so widespread, and in wars, that's what happens. I mean, you look at the Nazis and see what they did. And, of course, they made it illegal to have anything, any extras, food things, or to own guns, for that matter, so the Jews couldn't defend themselves. And, let's see, in Ukraine, the Russian troops stole grain. That was in the 1930s. And what happened was mass starvation happened right after that. And the Ukrainian farmers died by the thousands. It's happened everywhere. In Cuba, Castro killed and slaughtered so many Cuban citizens. He outlawed guns there too. Well, guns, yes. I'll talk about that for a minute, because I'm just thinking about an example from Argentina. See, in Argentina in 2001 and 2002, there were several economic crises, and, well, they had to get through a whole lot of huge difficulty. The currency collapsed. The government collapsed. All services failed, from garbage pickup to water, and it did that for many, many months. Society became brutal, and people were starved for food and for every basic thing, like soap, like anything. And there was some awful things that went on. People were killed and tortured. It was really awful. So some people who went through an experience like that, either during or after World War II, or even in that Argentinian crisis, one of the first things that they seem to have on their list is a gun. So now that's something that's so individual. You have to just decide. But there have been terrible things that have happened, where people certainly have been tortured and murdered and their belongings robbed. And that is what happens in a calamity. Terror goes on. Street robberies go on. And so people say, yeah, get a handgun and take a class or two to learn how to use it. Now, everybody has their own idea. Certainly, we have seen so many problems with guns in our society, so we have to be aware of that. And we have to also be aware that guns have protected people from all sorts of violence and rape and murder. So you just give it some thought, and you make a decision, and look at all the possibilities, because there's so many, both of how a gun can be good and how it can be so very bad. So think it through. You know, these days, there are people who get sued for using a gun. Our society seems to support a lawsuit where people get sued, and the person who uses that gun often to defend his home or his house, people or his family or his assets, they have to raise a whole lot of money to pay an attorney. And the pretty much, if they use a gun, they're going to lose their home. They're going to lose their assets to pay for an attorney to defend them, especially here in California. So, you know, as you live, you hear stories about people's experiences. Oh, you can hear the stories from cops, too. And it's just the way it happens that if you use a gun, you're going to be in trouble. So I suggest having pepper spray, defensive pepper spray. That is it'll do the job. Not the same job as a gun would do, but there's not the same liabilities either. So you do have a choice. We still live in a free country, and you get to choose what you would like to do. Just remember the consequences of what possibilities are and see what you want to do. Choose wisely and have your think about what the decisions mean. And I hope your choice is always to choose God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of a mystery. Three distinct persons in one God. That's really where our focus belongs. And I think it is such a mystery to think about that three persons in one God. It's okay. We have an eternity to try to understand it. We have eternity in heaven to look forward to. Oh boy! It's great. It's great. Well, we have our faith because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. We have an opportunity to turn from our sins, ask for forgiveness from our past sins from Jesus, and have a spiritual rebirth. That's called the born-again experience. And how lovely that is. We want to accept that offer of forgiveness of our sins. And if the people reject it, well, people will then suffer in hell. Now, we know that that's the way it is because it says so in the Bible. That's just the way it is. I know that some people will say, well, God is only giving us one choice, one way to do it. He's forcing us to believe, or he says we're going to go to hell. Well, I guess so, yeah. But just think, we have one way that we can do it, and we can be thankful that God has given us one way to get to heaven. And so let's say yes, Lord. Let's say yes to God. Say yes to him, and recognizing that he is unlimited and we have limits. We do not understand everything. And so we can be thankful that we have a choice that allows us to go to heaven and not hell. So say yes to God. Yield yourself to his will. That's wisdom. Choose Jesus, because the way I see it, Jesus has already chosen you. And then you can confirm what you understand as you read the Bible. See, the Bible tells us these things specifically, and it shows us patterns. That's the thing about the New Testament and the Old Testament. The patterns are there, and we can see that they are so true and consistent. But you have to look. The Bible's a big book. If that's too much to read, then just read the New Testament. And that will give you the truth that you need to understand, the truth of the gospel. If you don't like to read, you can always listen to it on a tape or on a CD. Just get it into your thinking and into your being. The Bible is a good book. Read that good book. Yes, indeed. I know there's so many things about preparedness. We prepare for the afterlife and we prepare for this life. For this life, there's all sorts of things that we can do to prepare. Just have a look, and you can make a list and decide what you want to do, what is most important. Put your biggest priorities first, because we all only have so much money. And so the money, it takes money to buy the things we need and use and to be prepared with. So, I of course think of water, food, and warmth first, but everybody has ideas, and it's good to look at everybody's ideas and then refine it and define it to see what you want to have. Get the lists. They are available. They're available on the computer. They are available from agencies and corporations. Get a list and look it over. Besides water, food, and warmth, you can think of first aid. A lot of people do. They think of a flashlight and a radio and the extra batteries for all that. Oh, and by the way, if you are storing your extra batteries, do that separately. Don't leave them in the device. Don't leave them in the flashlight or the radio. It seems like they tend to corrode if they are in a device, especially if that device is turned on and the batteries get all used up. They corrode really easy. So be aware of that area of preparation too. Store your batteries separate. Let's see, batteries, water, food. And so the first aid is something that everybody has a different idea on. And I just say, get the most basic first aid that you know how to use. And if you know how to use the complex things, then get those too. But you get to figure it out. Of course, walking shoes are really important. You can have walking shoes in your car also. And a warm jacket. Maybe rain and snow gear. And extra socks. Extra socks are really nice, both because they keep your feet dry. And sometimes with walking, your feet are moving around in the boot too much. So extra socks, that's good. You can always get the little practical things like a knife and matches. Oh, and a whistle. That's pretty important. And a compass, paper and pencil, a little bit of rope, and a multi-tool. The reason the whistle is important is because if you want to call out to somebody, if you are calling out after a couple of minutes, your voice becomes hoarse. You can only use your voice for so long. So a whistle is what you need in your emergency kit. Now, some people have glasses and they need to have an extra pair of glasses in their emergency kit too. And don't forget your prescriptions. Some people will want to be prepared to see what they can use if they run out of their prescription medicine. I think that's wise. Let's see. In a difficult situation, people often enough want to escape, and so they think of drugs or alcohol. And I want to say, oh, you better not, because you're going to need all your wits about you at all times. So stay aware, stay alert. And get your list together now before you need to do it, because if you have time to think about it, you have time to get it together, and that is always a good thing to do. There's people who say get extra money. for small needs that you just might have right in front of you. Remember, our economy is slowing down, and there can be events that happen that can cause even chaos, all sorts of things. So we may go into a global situation also, and we don't know what's coming, but we have ideas. So you give these things some thoughts so that you can prepare to get through a crisis situation that we don't know how long it will last. But to have some things available is better than to have nothing available. So get some things available in case there is a crisis. It's just for the what if. So have a look, get your list together, and then put them into a separate place. I say I like grains and sugar and salt and oil because those last for a long, long time. And there's always things you can do a little bit different. You can have substitutes. You can get honey. You can get olive oil or safflower oil and sunflower oil. And there's just lots of things that are just different that you can do. But you want to come up with a plan. And some people will find it acceptable to have GMO products or preserved food in their supplies, and some people won't. You have to look it over and decide what you're going to be comfortable with. But look at it, because there's a lot of people in the world who are even looking for confusion. They want chaos. The Islamic people who say the Mahdi will come, their Mahdi, and will bring order out of a chaos in the world. The New World Order talks about that too. They will bring order out of chaos. And there's even Christians who say the Antichrist is coming. So patterns repeat. Look at things and be careful and get your preparedness items together. You can always write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. Please send me, though, a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Remember Jesus and invite him into your life. And so until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to everyone.